This is Description, episode 71 for July 23rd, 2009, with material recorded July 17th, June 18th, and a little bit on May 23rd.
Are you not a motion-sensitive street lamp? Well, you're not helping. Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. Hello. I'm Valerie, and I'm in Toronto. Yeah, I'm back. And I am in the beaches, and or
the beach,
but I'm calling it the beaches, fuck that. And I'm where I left off the last time I was here, a couple weeks ago, at the top of Kew Gardens. But I am continuing east the last time, and so I'm beginning to continue east. The last time I was here with some other people, but we were where I used to think the beaches was, the beaches area was, which, by the way, we're east. We're really east. To me, we're really east. Person who lives in the annex, we're east. We were at Queen and Kingston Road, something like that. And on like the noisiest intersection you could ever associate with the beaches ever. And sitting there at this pub, and they're like asking me about the beaches, and I was like, well, it's kind of like this, kind of like that. For as much as I know, which isn't a ton, what are those pylons doing down there? No, it doesn't look like there's a shoot going on there. Usually I see pylons, cones plus cables equals some sort of a shoot, but I don't, enough, I'm not gonna bother walking down there. And so, because the beaches is east, I'm very, and far east, I'm very seldom here, but I was able to say some stuff because the time before that I was here was, was for Doors Open. They did an interesting thing here in the beaches for Doors Open, which is kind of not typical for Doors Open. If you remember, Doors Open at the end of May is usually about touring single buildings or sites. And maybe there are people there and blah, 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 telling you about what's going on and what it is like and all that stuff. And but for the beaches, they had what was more like a Jane's Walk. They had this guy who knows everything about this neighborhood, and he takes people, hang on, I'm adjusting something here. He takes people on this, on tours where he stops and talks all about the history of this place or that place, whatever. And he took us on this tour that was like 90 fucking minutes, and it started there at Kew Gardens and the library. There's a big library there. And went on the way I'm going right now. And he stopped and talking about all this stuff. And we went all the way to the filtration plant, which is slightly more glamorous than that sounds. But the point is that when you take the Queen streetcar east, it says, usually says Neville Park as its terminus. And no one really ever goes that far. We went that far to the terminus of the streetcar. Yeek. And so we walked all that way, and it was amazing, and I was recording everything, and it was awesome, and got all this information and whatever. And I was like, how the hell am I going to edit all the shit this guy's saying, because it's fucking 90 minutes. And then I find out a couple days ago, I listened back to it, and remember how I would have like this technical problem for the Gretzky tournament stuff, where there was stuff that was like too loud, that it would be like, you know, Man, I'm a genius. I was just looking at this sign that was about the timing for something that's happening here and got it all wrong. Don't care. So I listened to the audio and find out that it's like, it's all like,
are we all here?
But I had it way too high. And I had since learned not to do that, but it's now. But that wasn't then. I hadn't learned that then, so about 95% of it is baked. And so I got a couple pieces of it. But I thought, well, you know, fuck it. It's a nice night. It's dusk right now. It's a nice night. I got some other stuff. Let me just go. So here I am. And I'm going the way this guy went, although I don't know any of the shit that he told me. Hardly that I can think of. Now, the beach is like, I have to cross here and there's no light. Eh. The beach is just like, it's been around here since forever, for hundreds of years, basically. And this dude was talking about the whole history of this place and how, well, of course, technically, it's not part of Toronto. It wasn't part of Toronto initially. It was, York or something? I don't know anything about this stuff. I retain really well, huh? Especially when I'm recording. I'm like, I'm recording, fuck it. But it was its own neighborhood, right? And big, fancy, historically relevant people lived here. Like, back in the day. Like, hundreds of years ago. And eventually, Toronto kind of bled out to include this area. But it still feels very much like its own animal. I said the last time I was here, we were at this pub at Queen and Kingston Road, I guess it is. And then Kingston Road curves up and goes out to the east and becomes Highway 2 and goes off God knows where. Well, I know where. I've lived in some of those places that are God knows where. And so they were thinking, like, and that's like across from where Greenwood Racetrack used to be. And it's now a park and off-track betting and Alliance Atlantis Theater. And south of that is Ashbridges Bay, where usually fireworks go off for Victoria Day and Canada Day. They didn't for Canada Day this time because of the city strike. That is a, well, you can pretty much figure that's a little dog. Bigger than it sounds. Black. It's like a Scotty got crossed with a mutt. Is what it looks like. And he's tethered to a pole with, you know, the speed limit on the street and pay parking enforced and blah, blah, blah. And so he's waiting for whoever left him to come out of this Max Milk convenience store. Kuschdal owns them. Which is on the corner here. What was I saying? Oh, right. And so when we finally got up off our asses and out of that patio and started walking east, because I was like, you know, this isn't really the beaches, actually. This is kind of a nexus between Leslieville and the beaches. Leslieville is kind of the baby beaches. It's like the gentrification of the beaches kind of bled, this is strange, bled west toward downtown to hook up with Leslieville. So Leslieville starts seeming a little bit more like the beaches, but it's not the beaches. So I said, well, you going east. And so we go east, and was asking me, why are you so intent on crossing Woodbine? Well, because once you cross Woodbine, then you get a little more beachesy. And so what's beachesy stuff? Okay, whoops, sorry. I was deciding to start going north, but decided that was going to be away from the beachesy stuff I was just going to describe. Well, they're low buildings. It's starting to rain more. I gotta get out my umbrella. They're low buildings of two or three stories and a ton of these little storefronts. A ton of them. And some of them are businesses that have been here since the dawn of time. And some of them, well, literally businesses that have been here for, man, 70, 80 years. I'm opening my umbrella. Businesses that have been here since then. Businesses that have been here since the dawn of gentrification, and I can't tell you when that was. It's got to be 20 years ago. More than 20 years ago. You've got houses that have, a lot of buildings and old tiny houses that have been maintained quite well. And then you have buildings that are sort of faux retained or made to look more quaintly, newly old-timey than they perhaps ever were before the yuppies showed up. So you have a really dense mix of all of these different elements. Like, well, I said there's a Max Milk here in this corner. This has probably been here for a zillion years, although in different forms. There's probably been a convenience store here forever. Across the way, there's a Rogers video store. Kitty corner, there's a couple different offices and a sort of, well, there's an ad here for the Swanwick Heritage Lofts in the Beach. Register for your priority appointment. Now, I don't know if that's for the fairly old building that looks like it's from the 20s building itself, or whether they're breaking this down and starting something else. I'm going to guess it's the former. Any other area here, with the possible exception of the annex, I would say would be the latter. Here's the former. Directly across Queen from me is a Starbucks. And next to it is a salon and skin therapy center. And next to it is a UPS store. And next to that is the Sleep Country Canada. Why buy a mattress anywhere else? And next to the Max is an empty place. Everybody's having fun outside the Starbucks. There's a retail place for sale. Very small. And there's another one next to that that is empty. Very small. And next to that is the entrance to a Sylvan Learning Center. That's upstairs. And then there's an apartment for rent. And then there's an optical place that I think has been around quite a while. Okay, so that gives you a little more of an idea. There'll be more as we go along. But I'm going to go off the beaten track a little bit. Off the high street, going north, up Hammersmith. As soon as you start going north, off the beaches, and I would advise that you do that when you come here, and you will. because this is where all the houses are. The residential area just boom, smacks you in the face. And it's a combination, again, it's a mix of a whole lot of, it's a mix of different styles, but most of them are old. Like, this brick place, this little brick place, two levels across the street from where I am, frankly, looks like a safe house. But what does it say on the door? Let me walk over here. Well, yeah, danger, no trespassing. It's one of those mysterious houses that I think that Hydro runs, maybe, or you're supposed to think that Hydro runs them. And there's like stuff in there that has to do with power company or something and isn't actually a residential place. And next to it, across an alley, is just like the quaintest fucking house you've ever seen. Wood picket kind of railing around the porch, all nice and white. Stairs coming down the center, trimmed in some sort of a dark blue. Combination of stone and floral landscaping. It's all very, we just did this 2 years ago. And then right, I'm standing right beside, in front of, a house that's a darker brick with a wood trim on top of it. And they're not roses, are they? They're these red flowers in these old small vessels on either side of the stairs. Going across to a park. This is probably not the best time of day to be doing this, but fuck it, I'm recording. Come get me. So you have these, I mean, here are there's a little bicycle, pink, with stickers that say Moonrider on it, with training wheels. Here, sitting out on in the yard of this house, and there's a tricycle and a little wagon, and it's in the yard of this house that has just been landscaped, mainly with stone and dark soil. It's probably going to be planted into pretty soon. And this sidewalk that leads to the front walk is all very dark, flat stone and modern leading up to it. And there's a big Acura MDX in the driveway. Okay, I'm at the end of this road and it looks like I can't walk down into the park from here. Oh, yeah, I can. There's stairs. There we go. Because there's work being done. Someone's getting work done on this, well, you could call it a backyard if there was any greenery left, but in back of this house, there's all this stone, like flat stone and brick, well, not brick, I'm sorry, stone-colored brick? Yeah. Looks like they're putting together, like, this huge, like, the kind of place you would probably be making like wood-fired pizza outside. And then there's like a curved bit where I think they're probably going to put a hot tub. Whew, nice. Okay, going down these stairs now into another road that goes around the edge of this park. Can't remember what the name of this park is. It's named after a guy. And I gotta figure out how to get to a place where I can cross over and go into it. This road kind of winds around this place. Oh, I think I see a spot. And so that house that I just described, the folk tutor thing, is up on a little bit of a hill that's about slopes twice. And has, it's about 10 feet high, I think. That whole deal in back of this house is done by Beyond Landscaping. BeyondLandscaping.com. Because the sign is very prominent on this hill leading up to the house. And there's more of this faux Tudorish stuff. More of these faux Tudorish kind of houses. You know, they're like beige and have these dark, these dark brown wooden slats. I'm closing the umbrella, by the way. And have these brick, kind of almost starbursty kind of things going around the doors and the windows. That kind of thing. I don't see anybody around, so I'm not bothering with the phone right now. But I'm going into this park now. Dusk is about over. Now, this park, whatever the hell this is, and I'll know later, once I get to the end of it, is this goes on for quite a ways. I hear footsteps, so I'm getting the phone again. It's narrow and in kind of a valley, and it goes north of here for quite a ways, but I'm not sure if you could follow it really consistently. No, actually, I know you can't, because I can look down to my left and there's a fence. Wire. Metal. Fence going across it. So there are some ownership questions. So it says, please have your dog on a leash. Please pick up after your pet. So I'm going down this sidewalk into this valley. I have started going down the sidewalk. Walking, walking. You're excited, huh? Walking. Boom, and here we are at the bottom. In fact, it says there's a sign for the Discovery Walk. And so this sidewalk winds through south, going south in this park. And it's not a great park, I think, if you're claustrophobic. The foliage and the some flowers, some trees are close to you as you're walking through here. And I can hear, those are the footsteps I'd heard before, and I can hear people in this house kind of above me across the park, which is like, I don't know, what, 40, 50 feet away from me? You know me in distances. I think they're probably out on a patio or something in the back of their house. I'm continuing on. This park is kind of impressive because, hey, turn that motion-sensitive street lamp back on. Are you not a motion-sensitive street lamp? Well, you're not helping, I said as I walked by it. This park does not have immaculately trimmed and landscaped features here. It's a little bit wild. So it's the kind of thing, and I think this is indicative of the architecture around here when it's not really new. Here's a grating with the rain going through. It's like there are things here. And it looks really great. It's been made to be a little wild, but it's kind of maintained just enough so it's not too wild. You know what I mean? I mean, there are... What are these things that aren't dandelions? They're white. Not the ones that where you blow on them, they get puffy and they blow off. It's the other thing. Whatever. Okay, I'm going back up because you can probably tell we're getting back toward Queen again. Ivan Forest Gardens. Thank you, genius person who read the sign.
All right.
That's part of The Day Rick Danko Died by Luke Doucette, found in its original form on the album Blood's Too Rich by Luke Doucette and White Falcon. But that little recording I did at Lee's Palace during North by Northeast this year, where Luke played with D.L. Burnside and Justin Rutledge on that song and other songs. All of those boys are esteemed members of the family of Six Shooter Records. Here's where the connection comes in. On Queen Street, located in Leslieville, a little bit west of the beaches. Their credo is, life is too short to listen to shitty music. Amen. Holding down the rhythm section, by the way, were Mr. Basil Donovan and Mr. Glenn Milcham of Blue Rodeo, who held it down all night for all sorts of folks crossing that stage. It was the only night I could do North by Northeast this year because it was the same weekend as PAB. Please don't ever do that again. Gah. But for just having Thursday night, it was awesome this year. Yay. For links to all those people and many more things mentioned on this podcast, including things not mentioned on this podcast, go to the blog, descriptiontoronto.com. And now let's go further east along Queen Street in the beaches.
This is Queen and Beach, B-E-E-C-H. And a cross is kind of an iconic sign. Well, one thing on this corner is a small version, is the Wholesome Market, which is like a small version of, Whole Foods. Right, got it. That's been built into what used to be a Bank of Montreal. The last vestiges of said Bank of Montreal is a Bank of Montreal ATM. Across the way is Golden Gate, a Garden Gate, I'm sorry, Garden Gate. And you know it from its neon sign, Good Food since 1952. In pink script is Garden Gate. In more 40s kind of looking lettering is good, going down vertically, and then meeting with F at the bottom, and then going across the bottom and saying food, and then above ood, you have printed since 1952. And underneath since 1952 is what previously it said in neon before it said since 1952, and that is the words open kitchen. Restaurant itself is clean and newish and not quite chichi. Yeah. And I can see this because the storefront is all of these big glass, it's all glass along the front. Back on this side, north side, walking past the Fox Theater. First time I was in the beaches, and I didn't realize how far I'd gone, was to go to the Fox Theater to see something. And right now, their 3D film fest is going on tonight with House of Wax and Friday the 13th. And it's a rep place. And it's been around a long time. And what are the prices? Get a Fox Theater membership and save on movies and refreshments. Annual membership, $10. Member ticket, $7. Non-member ticket, $10. Members double bill. You know what that means, $10. Children and seniors, $6. 10% off for members on concessions. And they have a marquee. I was reading foxtheater.ca. By the way, that's for you Americans out there, that's theatre.ca. That's on a proper marquee. Not a big one, but it's a proper one. There's a consignment store next to that. And Du Béron, French style, next to that, where kind of place that you would get La Berger. And then there's, then there's a laundromat, Beach Solar Laundromat, where $4 washer, $2 dryer, $10 soap, 25 cents, not $2 soap, 50 cents soap, 25 cents softener, extras coffee, There's a relatively big area, business space here that is either, it's like somebody did something with it like last year, did a business in there and it was fancy and it was modern and then it failed and now it's empty. That's what it looks like. But there's a really cool bike place next to that and there's a butcher called the Chopping Block next to that still. And on the window for this butcher place, is some sort of a memo that's taped up here from the East Beach Community Association. So now you know we're in the East Beach. And it's headlined, Emergency Beach Cleanup Due to City Strike. We've had a strike going on the last 2 weeks of city workers, which means that garbage has not been picked up. So garbage has been picked up in a kind of catch-as-catch-can thing by people who have hired private haulers and BIAs, Business Improvement Associations, like those here, that get together to get that done. And it looks like they might be doing it themselves. It says location, parking lot of Beach Value Mart, northwest corner of Silver Birch Ave and Queen Street East, Sunday, July 12th. Was that last week? Time 1:30 p.m. Please wear old clothes and if possible bring gloves and coveralls. Some gloves will be available in hand sanitizer and lots of industrial garbage bags. Estimated completion time is 5 p.m. but you don't have to stay the whole afternoon. Please do not park your car in the Beach Value Mart parking lot. Park on a side street. Please email preferred or call to confirm you're coming. You know what this means? This means that the people of the East Beach area and the community association and business owners and whatever, just folks, got together last weekend? Yeah, last weekend and picked up garbage themselves. They didn't hire anybody. They picked up garbage and did it themselves. And they probably took them to, they either took them to professional haulers or they took them themselves to one of the, maybe dozen of, for want of a better term, dumping places that the city has set up for people to take their garbage. And more often than not, they've been in parks. There's one in Christie Pitts that has since closed down once it filled up, once they filled up the hockey rink with garbage bags. And there are other places around the GTA that are, you know, open spaces for parks, either, you know, in rinks or parking lots for parks or whatever. And whoever lives around those things, oh my God, they have been raising shit like you wouldn't believe. I mean, Kevin, you know, your friend Kevin, he does camera work oftentimes for CTV, and he was covering his videographer, and he was covering the protests that were going on at Christie Pitts, where there were residents who live around there who were trying to keep people from delivering garbage there. And he got kicked by this woman. There's footage of it on the news. he sent something on Facebook. It's like, tune into CTV News and watch me get kicked by this crazy old woman in Christie Pitts. These people, this is a case of not in my backyard. I have never heard so much anger and vitriol in my life about this. Granted, okay, yeah. By the way, I'm walking past the previously mentioned Value Mart, where people were assembling for this garbage pickup. I'm not going to get too far into this, because with any luck, this strike's going to be over pretty soon. I don't know. But, of course, I don't know. There's no great sign of that happening. And, but you wouldn't believe the anger. I mean, granted, the city did not ask people if they could do this. They did not have meetings or whatever. Well, like, what were they going to do? What do you think they're going to do? They're going to vote to go, oh yeah, let's have this happen. Of course not. Nobody wants it to happen in their backyard, eh? Or what they think is their backyard. There could be people who have like never used that park ever. It's still not a good thing. It's potentially dangerous environmentally. I get that. I really get that. But the anger these people have expressed against other people has been ridiculous. And I said on Twitter and I said on Facebook, I said, you know, if people had that much passion, had as much passion for finding solutions and making the city a better place when people aren't on strike, as they are passionate when they are fighting off people delivering garbage to parks near where they live, we would have the best city in the whole fucking world. So yeah, Neville Park. Now, if you have ever been on the Queen Street car going east, and it says Neville Park on it, and you've probably never been out this far, this is where the Queen Street car turns in the East End, where I am walking right now. This is where it turns. There's oil here from the streetcar on the ground. And you continue on. Oh no! You continue on and you get to the Harris treatment plant. But where I usually, well not usually, like once, walked to go there to the treatment plant, there's this one drive that kind of goes around the whole thing. And so the drive that I would walk down to the, get to the end of it, the entrance is blocked by a CUPE picket, the city workers that I just told you about on strike. There are four people here standing around the entrance talking. And there are little signs on either side saying CUPE with writing on it and whatever. I never thought of this about being like a city thing. Christ. And there's a cooler nearby and a flat of bottled water. And they're just kind of hanging around talking, and there are a couple pylons next to them. Huh. Well, there you go. Now I wonder, I don't want to go through them. Fortunately, there's like a, there's a street that goes parallel to that drive that I just told you about. And so I'm stepping along there slowly, and I'm measuring the way to go up to that drive. And so it's kind of two levels. So I'm going to walk along here. What I would have to see here, you can't really see as much now because it's night. It's not terribly well lit. So on top of this hill is the water treatment plant. And it has a history of its own that goes for, I don't know, several decades. I'm up on the first level of this hill. Let's see if I can climb up the second level. And this treatment plant, it's like, it has been used in all kinds of movies and TV shows. As a prison, as a giant evil lair, as anything really foreboding and industrial. Can I really climb up the rest of this way? Let's try. Remember that it also just rained. This is a big angle, but I made it. Up on the drive that I was on. I think I'm far enough away they're not gonna chase after me. Why would they be here? I guess, well, yeah, this is a city thing. But I guess people make deliveries here or something? People aren't really, the general public aren't allowed to go in this gigantic complex that is on top of another level of hill above me. About, again, you know me in distances, about 20, no, about 50 feet above me. So I guess deliveries have to be made here. And that's probably what they're stopping. Not people just coming out to look. There are kind of two levels to this plant. There's the gigantic sprawling complex. On the top of this hill. And then there's the next level down, which is what I'm approaching. Which is also of a... Why am I trying to talk on the phone now? Never mind. Which is of a similar vintage that looks more like an old, like, from the 30s kind of power plant. And there's a little bit of a tower coming from it. And otherwise, it's this... It would look like the other part of a prison, basically. Kind of... beige with brick and stone of varying sizes, dark, slightly peaked roofs with grooves in them. I think they're black actually, with grooves in them. The odd little curlicue decoration here and there. I think it's supposed to be an example of some sort of Art Deco kind of thing. Yeah, this, when it's daytime and you're up on top of that, or you're going along this road that I've been walking along, you're overlooking Lake Ontario. And it goes on forever. Seems to. Technically, it goes on until Rochester. But it goes on and on to break it down. Maybe I should just go down this way. Can I? I'm walking back the way I came, and there's in this other level, the other building, the lower building, I can see into, there's a kitchen, and there's a lot of fruit, and a nice looking toaster. I don't see any people, but the kitchen is lit. And then there are a couple other rooms lit. And then the hallway is like dim. Yeah, this is Harris Water Treatment Plant is owned by the City of Toronto. The windows along here are small in groups of three right next to each other. And then you go to the next section, the three right next to each other, and on you go. And they're square on the bottom and arched on the top and have trim across them going horizontally and vertically. Tell you though, even though you can't see, there are no stars out, it's very cloudy, and you can't see out to the lake, you know it's there. Well, obviously, duh, you can hear it. But there's this blackness out there. And you know what it is. This is where the tour ended. And then I went down these steps, as I will do now. I am now starting to go down the steps, which has a metal railing next to me. Now, again, there is a road that goes parallel to when I started walking down here. And they're the same nice beaches houses along that side. And it goes to the end. I'm at the bottom of one set of steps. Walk a little bit, and I go down to another set of steps. What's this sign say? Designated 24-hour dogs off-leash area. No excessive noise between 11 p.m. and 9 p.m. It's 11 yet, so excessive noise! This is in reference to the beach itself, and or the beaches itself, which is why this is called what it's called. I'm going down this dirt trail that's kind of steep. If it had rained more, I think I'd be in more trouble down to the beach. I don't think I should be down here very long. This is probably not a... I don't know how safe it is for me to be down here by myself this time of night. I don't know. There's a gate that's closed, but there's fencing that's easily climbed over. The beach area goes very far along here, which is possibly why there's been some dispute as to whether it's one beach or whether it's beaches. It goes on for quite a ways. Back to, technically back to, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, technically back to Woodbine, really, back to Ashbridges Bay. And that's a lot. Well, this whole way that I just went and I edited this down, it's pretty far. I'm gonna climb over this fence. Let's see if there's anybody here. Don't see it. I think you can hear what I'm walking on now. The only light is from, the lights are from the filtration plant and from an apartment. It looks like something I'd see in California. A woman just walked out onto her balcony, a young woman. She's bending down to do something. But there are lights coming from that one, two, three level with parking area underneath. Square, stone-looking kind of building. And then there are trees, lush trees for a while. And then there are more houses, but they're mainly obscured, understandably, by the lush trees. And that goes on for a while, so there's a big chunk of this beach that is dark. But I can see ahead of me where the boardwalk starts. There's a boardwalk that goes, well, quite a ways. I'm not really helping there. But it's a main selling point of the beaches. A lot of people, when they come to the beaches, they come to be on the boardwalk. Whether they're hanging out on the beach, or possibly attempting to swim, more often, or they're boating. There's often boats out here. Although any yacht club sort of thing isn't really in this area. It's to either end of this area. But the boardwalk has, you can rent canoes, and there are bicycles. The people bicycle and jog, and just kind of hang out. Walk their pets seems to be a very important thing. And so I can see the lights along the boardwalk. They're not terribly bright. And then beyond that is the skyline of Toronto. There's the CN Tower. There's all the other stuff. There are huge, for want of a better term, smokestacks, two of them, that are in the Etobicoke area. Further beyond that, that you can see quite easily, and flashing lights for, you know, planes that are landing on at the island airport. And you can see the islands a little bit, the lights of them. You can also see in between the two smokestacks flashing red lights on top of what I believe is some other sort of plant factory sort of deal that's in far west end. I don't even think it would count as Toronto that far. So that's how far I can see along this shore. And in the other direction, if I keep walking out to the end, not the end of this break wall, because the break walls, which happen every, I don't know, happen every 200 yards, that jut out, are made of gigantic, very jagged rocks. It's very difficult to walk out onto the break wall. I think that was intentional. But there is this one slab, flat slab of concrete here I'm walking up to the end of. And it is so dark and misty, kind of, that it's really difficult to get my bearings and distance. Even more difficult than it ever is. I can see a light out in the distance, but over to the further east, you'll have the Scarborough Bluffs. I can't see them. And there is this line along the horizon. It's like kind of a glowing beigey orange kind of a line. Very faint beigey orange.
So that's about where the space on my recorder ran out. So, hey, that'll almost do it for another episode of Description. Hey. Yeah, you might notice we're kind of back to normal now. Thanks for going with me on those last two episodes. Even if you didn't listen to it, that's cool, whatever. things are kind of back to normal. The process continues, the walking continues, so there may be some checking in the future, but for now, I'm doing what I'm doing. The blog is descriptiontoronto.com. The email is descriptionto@gmail.com. This podcast is lovingly hosted by publicbroadcasting.ca, an awesome site taking sort of a break with the updates while Justin the podcast landlord does his thing at North by East West. Not to be confused with the thing that I was mentioning earlier in the show. No, this site is nxew.ca. It's just been going on like a house of fire with some awesome independent Canadian music, so get your ass on over there when you're done listening to me. Before you get to do that, first, while I said most of what I recorded of the beaches for Doors Open was unusable, most of what is usable is what I ran out of room for when I went back. Does that make any sense? That's the sound of the beaches on the beaches at the water. So that is what I'll leave you with. Thank you so much for downloading and for listening or not listening and just hanging in there. Take care.